You know, there's a part of medicine, and I guess it's medicine, it's really intriguing. It's designed to help EMS. You know, these emergency medical people go out, and you call 911, and they send hooks and ladders and trucks and people and everything else. And it turns out, you know, you've got a temperature. Or maybe you need something else. There's a company that has its roots here called Graphium Health, and actually Field Med within Graphium Health, that it works to cut down some of the expense of this. This is all the idea of Daniel Dura, who's the CEO of Graphium Health and the co-founder of the company, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you.
So
good
it's
to be
hard.
Here.
It's hard for me to explain. So, but in essence, that's what it is. Is somebody calls 911, and all of a sudden, all the bells ring, and you send everybody out. How do you guys mitigate that?
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a lot of gaps in healthcare, right? Little areas where people's needs aren't being met. EMS 911 is kind of fitting in one of those where, you know, for them, a lot of what they're trying to do is deal with trauma and emergencies that are happening and help people out. But
there's this
whole portion of the community that doesn't get helped, that usually will call 911, you know, if they have a fever or, you know, they have a problem with their medications. And honestly, EMS isn't set up right now very well to do that. You know,
these are people who otherwise would go to a doc in a box, except in a lot of cases, they don't, you know, they're not ambulatory, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Or they don't have the capability to get there.
Yeah.
You know, they may not have a car. They may not have a vehicle. And so for them, dialing 911 is easy, right?
So how does FieldMed, how does Graphium interject itself in the formula? Do you have a contract with the city?
So what we do is we help fire departments and private ambulance companies basically implement what's called community health programs. And it's a little different take on you know, the traditional response model, which is you call 911, you come out. This is a little more proactive. They're actually taking, you know, the most vulnerable people in the community and trying to intervene in their lives ahead of time, keep them out of the hospital, keep them from calling 911, help them with their medications. When they get discharged from the hospital for whatever reason, you know, help them take care of themselves. And so, you know, what we do is we help implement programs, processes, and then a software package that basically helps them implement these programs in their communities.
I guess the alternative is just some operators say, well, wait, if this is not a medical emergency, you know, go to the doctor and hanging up.
Yeah, and they can't, right? I mean, if they get a call from somebody and they say they're having chest pain, I mean, they're rolling out the cavalry, right? And they want to come there and help and make sure that person's okay. But that's obviously expensive. You know, you got to send out a fire truck and an ambulance and a whole crew of people. And, you know, that's just doesn't make a lot of sense. Not to mention, you know, if that person actually ends up in the hospital, that's expensive
okay,
to the hospital.
Okay, so tell
as well.
Me again how this works. So the city of Dallas is mm-hmm. going to contract with two or three companies, I guess, that respond to 911.
Well, a lot of what they do, City of Dallas has their own fire department, so they're going to respond to 911 calls on their own.
Fort Worth, I guess.
Yeah, so they may contract it out. A lot of what they're going to do is they're going to look at, you know, who's making the calls. You know, are these people that are in that kind of vulnerable part of the population? And they're going to say, you know, wait, we're spending a lot of money. We're spending a lot of effort. The person's obviously not getting the quality of life that they would like. How do we intervene ahead of time? And, you know, a lot of these fire departments and private EMS, they know who the frequent flyers are in the system, right?
Yeah.
And so,
but so do you flag those people, or does the call go to you, or
no? The call doesn't go to us. So
does something pop up on a screen and say?
Well, it all comes through dispatch, like it always does. But again, what they're trying to do is basically stay ahead of it. So without the person even calling, they're going to identify that person in the community. And they will identify a few paramedics in their department who will basically be part of this program. This will be their job, and they will start calling on these people. They'll have a truck.
So preemptively, not waiting.
100%.
I get it.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of interesting is, I mean, these are again people that, you know, we like to look at healthcare and say the problems in healthcare are expensive, doctors are expensive, whatever. I mean, we're kind of looking at it beyond when a problem already occurred, right? They're already in the office, they're already in the hospital. What we kind of say is, like, we're trying to keep people out of the hospital to begin with. We want to make sure that they're being taken care of before it gets to the point where they need to go to an ICU or somewhere else.
You know, it makes all the sense in the world. And the most fascinating thing to me is that your background is not in medicine. You don't know beans, or you didn't know beans about medicine, but you knew a lot about technology and software.
Yes.
And that's what's being applied here to, you know, having a problem that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it's if you'd asked me 10 years ago if I'd be in the healthcare world, I would have, you know, probably, you know, shook my head in disbelief. I mean, it's such a different world, healthcare, and you know, my experience is mostly in creating software platforms and consulting. You know, I worked for Adobe Systems for a number of years, doing product development and evangelism. And then after that, I actually ran a consulting firm here in the Dallas area for a number of years. And we, you know, worked with a lot of the big Fortune 500 companies providing custom solutions here in the area.
So how's the company doing?
The company's doing great. I mean, we're, you know, overall, we're in about 275 facilities. We've actually helped about 60 different cities rolling out community health programs. And we're just on the front end of this community health kind of revolution, as it were. I mean, this is a big shift in the approach to EMS and what they're doing. So that's, you know, we're going to see it's only in about 10% of the cities nationwide.
So how do you market something like that? I would guess there's a lot of word of mouth if they're happy and they all go to conventions and say we're using these guys.
Yeah, it's, I mean, a lot of it, I'll tell you, I mean, I have to, you know, mention Dan Fry, who's one of the co-founders. He was a paramedic here in McKinney. It was one of the first to really do this community health approach to EMS. And he kind of developed some of the initial protocols and ways to build out these programs. And so he's very well connected in the industry. He's kind of helped us. He's one of our co-founders and helped us launch this. And, you know, it is a lot of word of mouth. A lot of it is talking about the benefit. And it's just one of those rare situations, even in business, where it's a win-win for everybody. You know, the patient's going to benefit from this, the fire departments, hospitals, and, you know, even us as a company.
So I can see in the long run how it's going to save a community money. In the short run, it's going to cost them money. And you got to come out, somehow you have to appear in their budgets.
Yeah. No, dealing with cities is obviously you deal with the governments, and you know, they sometimes have a little bit of a longer cycle. We have a philosophy about our team about running really lean and light, and so we try to keep the cost way down. We're not your traditional hospital, you know, EMR software vendor that's come in and say, you know, millions of dollars to implement a software package. We're more interested in them implementing the program. And so if we can get it in there in a cheaper way, we're going to do that to help them out. And then, you know, for us on the back end, we'll figure out where the value is and try to, you know, make our money from that. But at the end of the day, it's more about just getting the programs out there right now and making sure that these cities are implementing them.
Is this portable? I mean, obviously there's a need here in the U.S. because of the way we do this. And I don't know if other countries handled this the same way.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've done some research, and Europe has had this model actually for quite a while. You know, they're very much more preemptive about their health care. They're trying to keep people out of the system, you know, which obviously reduces costs for everybody. So there is a, you know, portability where we would look to go international with kind of our approach and our software package. But generally, you know, they've been doing similar models for a long time. It's mainly the U.S., North America that's pretty far behind on this. And this is, you know, like I said, 3 years ago, there weren't many people doing this at all, you know, a handful of cities that had anything similar to this. And so in the last, you know, 3 years, a total of about 600 cities have implemented these programs.
So you do have competition.
You know, it's interesting. There is a little bit of competition, but not much. I mean, a lot of times,
mostly it's one-offs.
Yeah, it's mostly one-offs or people who are doing other things in fire and EMS who are trying to get into this industry. You know, fundamentally, where we're kind of different, where we try to, you know, approach this in a different way is the mobile aspects of it. You know, these are, you know, these firemen are in the field. These paramedics are in the field. They're running around. So you have to have something that's very mobile, very easy to use. And that's where we excel.
That's fascinating. I mean, it's the most logical thing I've heard in a long time, and I hope you're very successful. It appears that you are already.
Yeah, it's fun.
Daniel Durr is the CEO of Graphium Health and FieldMed, and it's good to spend some time with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. Durr, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.